So Isaiah chapter 9 and starting at verse 2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This is the word of the Lord.
So hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them at the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around. And they were terrified, but the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Do you have a seat? Now, some people have already been showing your Christmas gifts this morning, but I wonder at who likes unwrapping Christmas presents. That's not very many of you. Who likes unwrapping presents? Okay, quite a few. That's good, because I'm going to need some help unwrapping this Christmas present this morning. I've already got a hand up over here. Would you like to come and help me unwrap this Christmas present? Great, come on up. So if you could unwrap this for me, if you turn around and then we can maybe see what's... Have I done it in a knot? Yeah, you're getting there. Great. Shall I get rid of that for you? There you go. Yeah. This is the neatest unwrapping I think I've ever seen. What's wrong with it? There's more! There's more paper! Okay, well, we might need someone else to come and do some more wrapping then. If you stay there, if you just hang on, if you kind of stand along here and hang on to the paper, great. We'll need you again in a minute. Who wants to come and unwrap? Great. hopefully we'll get somewhere this time. Do you want to try and wrap him? You're looking at me again. What's wrong this time? There's more paper! I've not done a very good job with this, have I? Okay, if you go and... Yeah, stand there. Someone else, see if they can get to the present. Thank you, Luke. I wasn't expecting all of this. Right. Yeah, you see if you can find the present. You're clearly not practiced enough at unwrapping.
I know. Well, I'm wrapping presents this morning.
Have you not? There's more wrapping paper. Oh. Okay, someone else. Go on, come on up. See if we can find the present. Please tell me you've reached the present inside. There's another layer! Oh, okay, I'm going to need someone else. Anyone else? Lots of you put your hands up and said you like unwrapping. Thank you, Kit. Oh, Zach's coming. Okay, please tell me the present is inside here. What is that? Newspaper. Okay, come on, Zach. We need your superhero skills to get to the present. Zach, we needed you all along. What have you arrived at?
That's not good for him to see that.
Not good for him to see that. So we have some celebrations. Now, stay there for a moment. I'm not finished with you yet. I'm sure many of us have played Pass the Parcel before. It's full of surprises. Will the music stop when I'm holding the parcel? Will there be a chocolate or a forfeit? Will it be the final layer and I'll unwrap that present in the middle? Because let's face it, that's what we all want when we're playing Pass the Parcel. And I wonder if those of you who have unwrapped this parcel this morning felt a bit like that. You were expecting something, but what and when? It became increasingly clear that we weren't just going to get to the celebrations in the middle. However, this present we have this morning was actually a bit different from a Pass the Parcel, because it actually had some clues to help us know when the present was gonna be revealed. So I don't know if any of you, astute amongst you, picked up on the clues, because right along here, first of all, we had, what kind of wrapping paper have you got? Santa hats and baubles. So I think that's quite Christmassy, isn't it? So we had some Christmas wrapping paper. And then what did we have next? What kind of wrapping paper have you got? Happy birthday! So then we had some birthday wrapping paper. So we worked out it was Christmas. Christmas is someone's birthday. Luke, what have you got?
Baby boy.
Oh, you've got baby boy paper. Okay, so it's Christmas. It's someone's birthday. It's the birthday of a baby boy. And what came next? It was over here. What have you got on your paper? Stars. Okay, Christmas. Someone's birthday of a baby boy, something about a star. What came next? Oh, you got the rough deal, didn't you? Plain brown paper. So the wise men followed the star to the stable, and then what did we have last of all? We had newspaper, because Jesus' birthday was good news, and we should celebrate. You can go and take your seats now. Thank you for your help. So, looking back, the layers make much more sense. And we maybe should have seen what was coming. Perhaps some of you did. Did anyone see what was coming? Anyone pick up on what was going on?
No.
Oh, I'm glad I got you fooled. I was worried you'd get ahead of me. It was a bit of a surprise. What did the layers mean? Christmas is something that many people typically spend a lot of time preparing for. I don't know the first time I saw Christmas cards in shops. It was probably about October, probably about then, October, November. They start selling cards, crackers, months in advance. And many of you, probably like me, we start buying presents. If you're really organised, you start buying presents in the January sales, ready for the next year. We go to the supermarket, we make plans. Christmas is something we spend a lot of time preparing for. And not just in society, we do it in church as well. I think we had our first meeting about Christmas months and months ago. We plan and we prepare for it. But I wonder if sometimes we're so used to Christmas happening, and many of us have heard the Christmas story many, many times before, that we forget what a surprise the birth of Jesus was. If you were at the carol service, Tom was talking about the expected and the unexpected aspects of Christmas. God's people were expecting a Messiah, a Saviour. And our first Bible reading this morning, the one that Rosemary read from Isaiah, was the prophet of Isaiah telling God's people that a child would be born. We had that wonderful verse. He would be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And so God's people have been promised a ruler who would be king, who would rule with justice and righteousness. Of his government and peace, there will be no end. But when it actually happened, and this is the bit that I think we forget, when it actually happened, it was a total surprise. And that's why the manger is so important in Luke's Gospel. I don't know if any of you picked up on the reading that this is the one that Steve read a few moments ago. The manger, or the feeding trough, it comes up 3 times in 14 verses. That's quite a lot of occasions to mention something that's essentially a trough from which animals eat their food. And it's actually a really important part of the story. And it's an important part of the story because the manger is what helped the shepherds to know that Jesus was the promised Messiah. Mary laid Jesus in a manger. And then did you notice when the angel appeared to the shepherds and told them that a Saviour, the Messiah, had been born, the angel told the shepherds the sign that they'd found the right baby was that he would be in a manger. So you've got Mary being told to lay Jesus in a manger, and then the angel rocks up to the shepherds and says, actually, you'll know when you've found the special baby because he'll be in a manger. The manger is the bit that joins the story together because it was a complete surprise. We kind of think the shepherds were sort of vaguely expecting it and sort of knew what was going on. It was completely bonkers. And so they needed this sign to know that they'd got the right baby. When surprises happen, when things happen in an unexpected way, we sometimes, like the shepherds, we need evidence to reassure us about what's going on. And what happened was perhaps more surprising than we realise, because it wasn't just that the shepherds didn't know the time or the place. Our reading from Luke, the second of our 2 readings, it began by telling us that the Roman Emperor Augustus Caesar had called for a census to be taken. Now, Augustus Caesar was, at this time, probably the most powerful Roman ruler there had ever been. He had defeated absolutely everyone who had tried to rival him for power. And he was head of a really, really great empire. He saw himself as the bringer of justice and peace. And he even referred to himself as the Son of God. And people saw him to be a saviour and worshipped him like a god. This is what people expected their Saviour and Messiah to be like. And so the biggest surprise that first Christmas wasn't simply that people hadn't known the time or the place. It was the very fact that a Saviour was born. We kind of take that for granted. Oh, Christmas is about the birth of Jesus. But that's the big surprise of it. A Saviour was born. The Son of God came as a baby and was laid in a manger. And I wonder this Christmas whether we need to be surprised afresh. I'm glad I managed to surprise you with the present unwrapping at the front this morning. Because I think we spend so much time preparing, we kind of know what's coming, and we miss the key points of the story. It can be easy for us to come to church on Christmas and celebrate a Saviour being born, but then we go back to our lives and we look for another Saviour. The people in the Roman Empire, they thought Augustus Caesar was their saviour. They thought the saviour was the person that was beat all his rivals, had the most power. Being saviour was something that was earned. It came with power and could be attained and could be achieved. And actually, the Saviour was born. That is the big surprise of Christmas. Maybe you're all miles ahead of me, but I think sometimes we forget how surprising that is. Because I think in our own lives, when we leave church today, we do find ourselves looking for a saviour in other places. I think sometimes we can think, particularly if we've got friends or family who are very ill, that a saviour might be discovered in a laboratory with the developments of modern medicine. Or perhaps we think a saviour can be found on Tinder. If I just get the perfect partner, actually life will be so much better. Or perhaps we think a saviour can be, we just had an election, perhaps we think a saviour can be elected. If we just get the right people in power in government, that would just solve everything, whatever the right people are. Perhaps we think a saviour can be earned if I just had more money. And I'm not saying these things are bad things to want or have, but they can't save us. So this Christmas, let's be surprised by the fact that a saviour has been born. Not earned, not discovered, not worked for, not any of the other things I listed off. A saviour has been born. Total surprise. And that changed everything for the shepherds. And within a few hundred years, it changed everything for the Roman Empire. And it changes everything for us. Amen.